Hello.
Hi.
Hey, everyone.
How's everybody doing?
Good. How are you guys?
I'm doing pretty well.
Yeah. I haven't seen you, Tay, in forever.
I know.
Since the last time we recorded.
Yeah.
I think.
It's been a while.
Yeah. It's been a while. We were stuck with the holidays. How was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was wonderful. Yeah. I got to spend some much needed time with some family and I got to bake and
I saw your what?
The challah.
Challah. Yeah. Yes. Challah. It looked so good.
The 4.5 hour bread, it takes like all morning to make, and then it's fresh out of the oven once we
is that because it's a yeast dough?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, we have to let it rise for like 2 to 2.5 hours, mm-hmm. and then the rest of it's putting it together, kneading it, mm-hmm. Braiding
it. I need it.
You need
it. Looked so good though. You did a really good job.
Oh, thank you.
How did it taste?
Oh, it was wonderful. I make it every year.
Do you?
Okay. I only make it like once or twice a year, but yeah, it's so much fun to make. Yeah.
Oh my mm-hmm. gosh, you're so good at like baking and cooking and stuff.
I'm so good at creating.
Yeah,
I love to. Baking and cooking is like a remedy for me. It's just so relaxing, and I love doing it.
Oh, I love that for you.
So good. So good for you.
Last year, whenever we were recording with Shirley, we talked about Thanksgiving sides. So everybody listening already knows our favorite sides, but what's your favorite Thanksgiving side?
Oh, that is a very good question. I really do like the, there's so many of them. I don't know. It's so hard to like pick one. Let's say I do like the green bean casserole, mm-hmm. very much so. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of that, but I also really enjoy stuffing and, I really enjoy like yams and I don't know. It's hard to pick just one, but I guess if I had to, I would say the casserole.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mine is stuffing. Was stuffing, is stuffing. I could eat like a whole box of stuffing.
It's good. Depending on how you make it, if you add raisins in it, oh my gosh, yes.
I've never done that. I just like, literally just make it like out of the box, you know? You like boil the water, add the stuff into the water, let it sit for 5 minutes.
Oh yeah.
Down it. The whole thing. My parents are always like, how many boxes do we think we'll need? 2? And I'm like, 4. Whatever you think, double it. Yeah. And then Faye's cranberry sauce.
Yeah, jellied cranberry sauce specifically. Don't mess with the whole berry
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Gosh, I can't remember Shirley's. Was it potatoes?
I don't remember.
Gosh. I feel
like mashed potatoes.
Yeah, we'll have to ask her.
Yeah,
with the lumps in it.
I like lumps. I like lumps, the skins.
Too. I like the skin in it too, yeah. very much so, because it's also good. It has a lot of protein in it. Mm-hmm. It's so good.
Yeah. And it got that dirt taste.
Yeah, uh-huh, yeah, actually, uh-huh. yeah.
I love dirt taste.
I mean, why not? Yeah. Nobody in my family likes the skins though.
So really?
They spend like all that. It's like a whole bag of potatoes, and they gotta fucking peel them. It takes forever. I'm like, you know what would solve that? Not peeling them. You know?
And it's completely edible and it's good for you.
Yeah.
Dirt taste.
Yeah. I'm into dirt. All right. Well, we are Unholy Gossip Girls. I'm Casey.
I'm Faye.
I'm Tay.
And it's whenever this episode comes out, it'll be January. Ooh. January.
Oh,
January.
Gosh.
January 20th. Oh, so maybe by then, maybe by the time this comes out, we will have had our holiday party.
Perhaps. Yeah.
So we're going to be doing a murder mystery holiday party, immersive experience.
Ooh.
Our mutual BFF Christina got us a kit for Christmas.
How kind of her.
From Etsy. I'm so excited.
We love you, Christina.
So sweet.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Excited
too. Me too.
Hopefully it's good. I helped her pick it out and it was 2 a.m. whenever I was pumping. And she was like, what do you guys want? And I was like, something like this, and she's like, done, ordered. I was like, okay.
So are we like characters? Is it like that kind?
Yeah.
Can we get way into it?
My god, I am so doing
can
that.
We find out who we are ahead of time so we can dress appropriately?
Yeah, we'll have to dig in. It's like a kit.
Okay.
So like I opened the box because actually my husband opened the box, so Whenever they delivered it, they put it inside of our mailbox, uh-huh. right? And we have one of those like communal mailboxes. It's like a big rectangle with like 20 different ones in there. Uh-huh. Anyway, so it fit from the backside, but there's like a frame on yeah. the front, and so it did not pull out.
Oh gosh.
So we spent probably a good 10 minutes like ripping the box open and just trying to like squish it and pull it out, and some of the stuff fell out. Oh, so anyway, no. It was beautifully wrapped in wrapping paper even. Oh. Not anymore. We had to claw that shit out of there. So anyway, it is open. We can look at it.
I'm so excited.
Me too.
It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I'm excited to find out who done it.
Me too.
Who done
it? I hope it's me.
Ooh. That'll be fun. I wonder, because I've never done one where it says like you were the killer, right?
Like no, right I off think... the bat when you get your information.
Yeah. That would, I mean, I'm so bad at like keeping secrets, and that's a big one. You'd
be whispering into everyone's ear, it was me.
If I just like immediately said it right off the bat, you guys would all be like, that's a red herring. And then you would never guess it was me.
Yeah, that's what I would probably think.
I won't do that. I'll try my best, but I have a really bad poker face. I'll be like, nothing, it just says I really like dogs.
I'm so excited. I can't wait.
It'll be really good. Cool. Oh,
geez.
Well, thank you, Christina.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
All right. Well, should we get started?
Shall we?
Yeah. Yeah. Taylor, what do you have for us?
Well, this is my first story, actually, so I'm a little bit nervous, but
it's kind of your second. Kind
of.
Told us the beeping story.
Yeah,
the beeps.
You told us your haunted house story.
Oh yeah, that's right.
But that was like years ago.
Yeah, yeah. So. I was like an infant back then.
Yeah, and that was your own story. So this is like your first like researched story.
This is my first story.
It's going to go really good.
And it's a little bit creepy. I wanted to go into something first to start with that's kind of just gives you chills, you know.
Ew.
I feel like that could be a great start. And I don't know, I just this is the kind of stuff that's fun for me, so
yeah. All right, let's crack into it.
So this is an older story, and this is actually something that I learned a long time ago. I had read about it back in college, so at least 7-8 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always fascinated me. I, you know, most people get scared of this kind of stuff, but really for me, this is fascinating. It's just an interesting topic. I, for one, am like, you know, I'm really into our ocean system. So I took a lot of classes for oceanography, and it stuck with me.
The ocean is like up there with space for me. Just like in terms of mystery and wanting to know what's going on.
Yeah, it's a frontier. Did you know that we know more about our moon's surface than we do our ocean?
I did. Crazy. And it's like mind-boggling.
It's creepy to think about. And I love that.
I hate it.
I love it.
Yeah. I'm always fascinated by that stuff. The frontier, I mean, it's one of those things where I kind of do wish I knew everything that exists and what, like, have all the answers. But at the same time, I enjoy not knowing, because it creates that mystery. And then you get to think about it and think about all the things that could be there. You just don't know.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Love it.
So I think the reason why the ocean scares me more than space is because I don't interact with space, you know?
Yeah, you don't go to space regularly.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't. But, you know, and I really don't go to the ocean all that often. But, like, whenever I do, shit freaks me the fuck out. It is so scary. Like, those videos of people that are just, like, on, like, a surfboard or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, in the whole screen, you can't see any land at all. And it's just, like, nothing but, like, deep blue water.
I love it.
Fuck that.
I love that. I mean, so, I actually, my go-to my meditation place is actually just picturing myself like on a raft in the middle of nowhere in the ocean, just relaxing, just feeling the waves, feeling the current. Oh,
that's so sweet. You just unlocked a memory from my birth class. We had to one of the it was kind of like a meditation, like go to a happy place, and she like guided us to a happy place.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to like walk through the forest and get to like some water, and then get like on a little boat thingy, like a rowboat,
mm-hmm.
and lay back, and then try to think of like you know, moving in the boat on the waves or whatever. And then, like, imagine, like, because we were obviously pregnant, and being like, with your person, and like, I imagined my dog being there, and it's just all laying there. So that was nice.
Oh, it's so relaxing to think about for me personally, but
yeah. But if it was on the ocean, I imagined a shallow pond.
You could touch the bottom.
Yeah. I mean, that works too. To each their own. Right? But for those of you, this is a story that if you are not able to handle the scary depths of the ocean, this story is going to creep you out.
Not for you.
This is not for you. It's for me, but nothing for you.
Ooh, I'm excited.
So this is actually, I got this specific information from the University of Melbourne. It's in Australia.
Cool. Yeah.
And this was published back in 2018, October 21st. Sorry about that.
That's pretty recent.
Yeah. And it was actually posted by, and this is a tough name, and I apologize right off the bat, but it's Ziafia Zulkefli. Zulkefli. I'm sorry if I butchered that. It's an interesting name, but
that
yes,
a cool name.
I think that's awesome. But yeah, I'm so sorry if I butchered that. This article. I thank you so much for providing this. So the article is called "The Bloop." It came from the deep.
Ooh.
Spooky.
In 1997. Listening stations across the Pacific, and it was actually picked up by the NOAA, which is, it stands for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, picked up an extremely loud and strange sound. They named it the bloop.
The bloop.
The bloop. Originally, these listening stations were positioned to detect underwater volcanoes along the coast of South America. Underwater microscopes, phones, and hydrophones are useful in this case because they are stationed along the seabed. So, yeah, this is something that they were using more is like just to, you know, navigate, learn more, and they just pick the sound up. Yeah.
And monitor the volcanoes, because I'm sure whenever volcanoes erupt underwater, it affects the like ocean and waves and stuff above, which can lead to some other, I don't know, tsunamis or something. Fucking have no idea.
And this is all taking place too in the Pacific Ocean. So you have the what's called the Pacific Ring of Fire. So it's basically the edges along the Pacific Ocean where it's like the hottest points. You've got a lot of volcanic activity, seismic activity for earthquakes.
Because of the tectonic plates mushing together?
Yeah.
Is that where they have those videos of like the water that's like blue over here and then like green over here or whatever? And it's like the waters don't mix?
That might be it. That could also be... due to something else, but yes, I think that could also, yeah,
it's like the salt content or something that makes it so they don't mix. So cool.
But they have, yeah, the Pacific Ocean has a lot of activity, and that's another story for another time. Like I said, I'm a big fascination of the ocean, so I took oceanography and I have a lot I can say about it, specifically the Pacific versus the Atlantic. But yeah,
that's interesting that you took that, because that has nothing to do with your degree.
It really doesn't, but I saw that class and I wanted to so bad. Originally, I considered about going into oceanography, but I'm smack dab in the middle of, you know, we're continent.
Landlocked.
Yeah, we're landlocked in Colorado.
That's
so
true.
It's not going to happen for me unless I move out of state.
True. My husband wants to learn how to scuba dive. And I'm like, dive. Go for it. But like, you know where we live, right? But there are some cool scuba diving places in Utah, he said.
Oh, really?
Like, really cool. Like, you know, you see those videos of Utah with, like, the caves and the water, and, like, people are in bikinis, and they're like, ha-ha, and they jump in, and I'm like, fuck that.
But they do have the Great Salt Lake,
yeah. Mm-hmm. There's some pretty cool places to scuba dive there, apparently.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, at this depth, sound is pushed back down instead of being scattered like it would up on land. This means that hydrophones can capture sounds that are traveled for thousands of kilometers, making it easier to detect underwater volcanic activity. Hmm. Each sound wave hydrophones pick up is unique. You can use characteristics of the sound to identify their origin. They have an example here as a volcanic erupting would be a low frequency rumble with higher pitched pops scattered within. On the other hand, whales tend to make high pitched sounds.
Aww.
Yeah, I know,
whales.
Right? Whales, yes.
Aww.
Another fascination too. I love whales. Whales are so beautiful,
they
honestly.
Really are.
They are so just gentle and nice.
I know. As one of the biggest creatures on our planet, they really are. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So sweet.
Yeah. So why was the bloop so interesting? So most organic sounds don't tend to be very loud. However, the bloop was one of the loudest sounds ever picked up by the hydrophone. In fact, it was so loud that every listening station 5,000 kilometers apart picked it up.
That's,
it was crazy loud.
And it was a different sound than whales and then?
Well, that's coming up. So it's a sound that was, it was extremely loud, but they were trying to determine what had caused the sound.
Okay.
Yeah. So scientists had no idea what was making the noise, except that it was not man-made. They had that confirmed.
Okay.
The bloop was released to the public, and here is where communication broke down. So everyone wanted to know what weird deep sea wonder was making the sound.
Hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Kind of creepy.
Kraken.
What?
Kraken.
Kraken.
I love that. Can you cover the Kraken?
Yeah.
Okay.
I will.
Thanks.
What?
You can do the Kraken. Okay, sorry.
I'll be our ocean systems person. Thank you.
You still need to do Bigfoot.
Oh, right. Yes. That is a good one. And the Chupacabra. Did you do
one? I did Chupacabra.
Oh, Chupacabra is so fascinating.
It's Chupi.
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 In turn, researchers revealed that the bloop was organic in nature. While this might be accurate to say, in a scientific perspective, the public in general did not have the same understanding of the word organic. To scientists, organic meant natural, but to the general public, organic meant animal.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Which makes sense. I can see that. Yeah.
I mean, can't it be both?
I think in some ways, I mean, personally, I would think that it could be like both ways, but, you know, I'm not sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess not, according to scientists.
Our nature.
I think organic would just mean like anything that's not man-made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we're, we're.
Right.
I'm organic.
Well, you were man-made.
You,
I was man-made.
You were made by a man and a woman.
Ew.
Oh, geez. I love this group. So when it was found out that the bloop was picked up around 1,500 kilometers away from what's known as, and this is hard for me to pronounce, it's the it's basically the lost city that H.P. Lovecraft had to it's called Riley, I believe.
Is that underwater city?
Mm-hmm. It's the one that H.P. Lovecraft had written about for Cthulhu. With
can
the
you
location.
Cover that too?
Yeah. So when it was found out that the bloop, yes, I will be. When it was found out that the bloop was picked up around 1,500 kilometers away from this city, horror fans went wild. Why is this so significant? Well, in H.P. Lovecraft's book, The Call of Cthulhu, this city was the area in which Eldritch horror Cthulhu first emerged. Yeah.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
This is where it got interesting for me too when I first heard about this. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So now we go into the theories, but first I'm going to show you guys a picture of what's going on here. So I have two pictures first to show, us, but mm-hmm. I'll kind of describe it to you while I show it. But
and we'll post the pictures on our Instagram.
Oh, yeah. So first, the first picture that I have is an image that kind of shows the size of the bloop if it were the size of some kind of creature. And the second one shows kind of like the image of the location of where the bloop sound was picked up compared to the location of where the story of supposed, you know, lost city of Cthulhu took place. And surprisingly, they are pretty close to each other. Yeah. Right off the coast of Chile, I believe, in South America.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wonder how close this is to... Oh, I don't think it's that close. Never mind. I was going to say the Bermuda Triangle.
I think the Bermuda Triangle is on the other end.
Yeah, I think it's up here.
The Bermuda Triangle is actually in the Atlantic Ocean. Yeah.
I already covered that. Sorry, Tay.
Oh, no, you're okay. The Bermuda Triangle is its own fascinating story, too. But I'm sure you guys had a lot of fun with that one. Yeah.
We did. We had some theories.
Yeah.
And they're accurate.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of theories. In fact, I think that... They have kind of figured out a lot of what's going on there, but it's not concrete. It's definitely still kind of questionable. Yeah, it's a fascinating topic.
Our theories were fun. I think the time warp was my favorite.
The time warp.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
That you like fly into a time warp.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
It's got to be real.
Yeah.
It's got to be.
I mean, why not?
It's the only one that makes sense. Yeah.
We said
it. We're the authority on this.
Obviously. Or the Bermuda Authority.
We wear Bermuda shorts.
And triangles are our favorite shape.
I think you got it all set.
I know.
We walk around like this, but not because of the Illuminati.
Nope. Because of the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah.
For those triangle of you heads. Who couldn't see that, she was holding her fingers together to create a nice triangle shape, but not for the Illuminati.
No, nope. We could do it like... No, that one
like
work.
This.
Are you flashing gang signs at me?
Yeah. Bermuda heads. Anyway, sorry.
Oh, so much fun. Anyway. So much fun. We should make this into a YouTube video, and then people can actually see what we're doing.
I thought about it. But, you know, I think I would have to get a different area because I don't think we would get licenses to put any of the crap that I have on my walls.
I don't think I'd be into that at all.
You could wear a animal head.
Okay, I'll do
like,
that.
Like Deadmau5. Deadmau5.
Deadmau5.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Are you about to get into theories?
Anyway, yes, theories.
Okay. Well, let's take a quick break and then we'll get to the theories.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
And we're back.
Hello.
Hey, everybody.
And we're bitching.
She's only saying that because I just said it.
Back and bitching.
Oh, jeez.
All right.
Anyway.
Theories.
Here we go into the theories.
Oh, wait. Do you have a sound for us?
I do. Would you like to listen to the sound first? I have a version of the sound in regular speed. In fast speed, it just sounds like a whoop. So if you need to hear that, you can find it online pretty easily. But I figured the normal speed sound is much like creepier, so I like to listen to that one more.
Why do they speed it up?
Yeah, why would they do that?
I think they speed it up to kind of give you an idea of like why they call it the bloop, because in quick speed it really does sound like it's just like, you know, a bloop. Bubble, like, yeah, it's just like a bubble coming up from the like,
interesting.
Yeah, but but the normal speed one, I don't know. It just gives me chills. I love it.
I'm excited.
Let's get it. Yeah.
Okay.
Let me see if I can get it to work. Let's see.
That sounds alien.
That's a sea creature.
Right.
That's like a...
Huh.
That's creepy.
It is, right? Yeah.
Huh. That sounds like mechanical. Yeah, almost.
It does. I think the way that it's picking it up, because it's they're picking it up by hertz. Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, but the sound itself is yeah.
It's awesome.
I mean, imagine being so it's 1997 and you're sitting there listening to everything that's being recorded, and then you're the first one to notice that, and you're like, I Brian, you got to get over here, you got to listen to this.
Oh my gosh, it's like Xenon.
Yes, the second one.
Yeah.
Oh my zoom, god
zoom, zoom.
Oh my gosh,
yes,
that was my childhood movie. When I watched that first time watching that movie scared me, and I loved that.
Oh my god, that was movie so was iconic. Okay, yeah. Faye and I dressed up as Xenon and Nebula for Halloween one year. We have pictures. I know we're just pointing randomly, but like you see the photo strips.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
that's so cute.
Yeah, that was
so fun.
Iconic.
That was the best day of my life. That was so fun.
That was probably the best Halloween party.
Yeah.
And I think it's because it wasn't like at my house, although I love so having fun. Parties at my house. But like, it was like an event.
Yeah.
We had like a murder mystery dinner and then a Halloween ball with such good food.
So fun.
We just spent a lot of time eating food and taking photos.
Yeah.
That's cute.
It was so fun.
And the winners of the costume contest were the Golden Girls.
Oh yeah.
But they were all men.
Yeah.
Right.
It's all men.
I love that.
It was epic.
It really was.
And oh, only like one person recognized us as our costumes.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Mm-hmm. We had fun.
It was so fun.
Oh my god, it was so fun.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
Anyway. Zoom, zoom, zoom.
So yes, now that you have that sound in your head, keep it there while we go through the theories, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Needless to say, many different theories began cropping up. We've got theory number one. The sound was a warning from Cthulhu himself. Or yes. Herself.
Herself.
Or themselves.
Themselves.
Inclusive.
Oh my gosh.
Who was about to awaken and begin his or her rampage.
Yes. That's yes. It's that one. I don't need to hear any
it's just
other.
Just taken a really.
Unfortunately,
long time.
From this article, it says this theory was easily debunked. Cthulhu is a fictional creature and does not actually exist.
Whatever.
I will say that. I will say personally that just because it's a story that was a fictional story written by someone doesn't necessarily mean that it's fake. I mean, we know that there are giant squid down there. There are things that we don't know a lot about. And one actually fun fact that I brought with me is that we've only explored 5% of our ocean. That's charted by humans. 5%.
Wow. Crazy.
That's so low.
That's so, yeah.
To just completely dismiss it right off the bat. I mean, it's unlikely that maybe Cthulhu itself, the story is fake, but that doesn't necessarily mean that there isn't something like that down there. We don't know. If it's only 5% of our ocean that we actually have charted, we don't know.
We don't know. I mean, if narwhals exist,
anything can exist.
Yeah.
Right.
Just saying. Narwhals are fucking sound fictional as hell.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry about that, Cthulhu fans. I personally am a Cthulhu fan, and I am not going to go with that. I will still say that, you know, that's a theory that's fun and still, you know, possible.
Fun and fresh.
So theory number two, the sound came from a whale or a group of whales. This theory is a little more believable. The sound does seem like it could be from an animal. However, there were two problems. And before I go into the problems, I want to state that the first picture I had shown you was a picture of the size of this creature that could have made the sound compared to a blue whale. Mm-hmm. In order for something that like sound to travel that far, it had to be like 2 to 3 times, maybe even more, like greater than a blue whale. So a blue whale is the largest mammal that we have on our planet. Mm-hmm. And it's a huge, huge animal. I mean, the blue whale is approximately on average 300,000 pounds.
Crazy.
How big is that compared to the megalodon?
The megalodon. See, that's a good question. I don't know exactly. And that will be another one I want to cover too. I don't know how large the megalodon is, but some people have like compared it to that. And the megalodon is massive. Mm-hmm. It is massive compared to any creature that we have.
So could this have been the megalodon?
It's possible. Yes. I mean, the blue whale is like 70 to 80 feet long. So this creature had to be, I mean, we have, I brought some notes on fandom of like, based on the sound, how large the animal could have been. Mm-hmm. And we're talking extremely large. I mean, this is a creature that, like, if it exists down there, it's hard to believe we've missed it because, I mean, they're saying that, it has been argued. So assuming similar noise making capabilities of the blue whale, the largest known species of animals, the bloop would have to be made by an animal more than 200 feet in length.
Oh, wow.
200 feet. That's insane.
That's crazy.
Could it have been a whale orgy?
I mean, I can't exactly just like dismiss that. I would say that that would be interesting. But I'd be more fascinated on that it's another creature.
Yeah.
But
it could have been the Meg.
So with that being said, we were talking about the whale or a group of whales, but there were two problems. No whale or group of whales has ever made vocalizations loud enough for a string of stations 1,500 kilometers apart to pick up simultaneously. Animals are just not that loud. They aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And although the bloop does make a high-pitched sound, the recording released to the public was sped up 16 times. So that's what I was kind of like describing to you. The first original sound that they actually released was just the bloop. You know, it was just bloop. The one that I had shown you was actually
like real
part of the like original. Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah. So if you listen to the original recording, you can hear that is actually a low-pitched rumbling, much like thunder. You know, much like thunder, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
So,
zoom.
And then the theory number three, which is, you know, an interesting theory as well. It was just an earthquake.
Boo, that's boring.
I mean, yeah, I get that. But it's, so the idea of the bloop being an animal, and I brought two more pictures for us to look at.
God.
These are like just images that are kind of fun to like play around with your mind to see, you know, like the first image is like compared, you know, this large animal, this large creature in the water next to someone, a scuba diver. And you can just see the comparison size.
Oh my God.
Right off the bat. I mean, if you saw something like that, I personally would be really scared to see it in person. But again, I'm fascinated with this. The second image is of of just the water. You've got the ocean kind of like with the ship on top. It's a tiny little ship. Because of how far away, it's a regular size ship, but from far away. And then you've got the bottom half of the photo that you can see underwater, and there's this large, large creature. It makes the ship look like it's a tiny little like Lego.
Yeah,
you know,
fuck that. This is why I don't like the ocean.
And this is why I do, because things like this is fascinating. It's so cool.
It's so scary.
I love it.
I do too. But anyway, to wrap this up, so I will say that it has been debunked for the most part, and we're going to get into that right now. So 10 years after the bloop was picked up, the mystery was solved.
Oh no.
I know. This is the sad part. But again, for those who have a high imagination and, you know, creative mind, just think of this as still an opportunity to believe that there are things out there. And like I said, we only know 5% of our ocean floor. So it's still plausible because this sound, you know, it brings a lot of questions. It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
The low frequency sounds were produced by an ice shelf cracking as it prepared to break from the Antarctica. So it was an ice quake. Turns out that was what scientists thought it was all along, apparently. So yeah, but they did find out.
I think that's kind of cool though, an ice quake.
Mm-hmm.
But who caused the ice quake?
I love that.
The Avatar bursting out of his. You haven't seen the Avatar, have you?
The are you talking
about The Last
about...
Airbender?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. How he is like frozen in ice mm-hmm. for like a long time.
Those of you who don't know, that's episode one.
It's the Avatar bursting out of the ice, causing an ice quake.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that. Yes. But Faye makes a great point. What caused that? Was it another animal? Was it global warming? You'll never know.
Which is scarier.
Which is scary. Actually, yes. Yeah. That's another topic that we should discuss another time. Actually, that's not even a simple topic. That has its own like thousands of stories, but we'll get into that
like
later.
Shirley wants to cover the Cold War as a bonus episode.
Oh,
just real quick. Bullet points.
So basically, they had debunked it as an ice quake, but I guess there are lessons that we can learn from this. One, choose your words carefully. People might misinterpret what you're saying and run with it. It's very true. That is so true. I mean, think about how many times you play telephone and how often it changes like by the end of it. Yeah,
that's like my job. I work with all women except for my boss.
Uh-huh.
And nobody ever just talks to all of us together. It's like, oh, I'm going to hear something that was told to my superior, who was told to her by this other girl, who was told to her by our boss. So by the time it gets back to me, it's like so fucked up.
Yep.
I'm just like, what are we doing?
Yeah, being the middleman to like, you know, transfer information and communication, it's just, it's the worst job. You never get respect for it. You never get like praise for it because, you know, you have the hardest job. You have to communicate what someone's saying to you and then you have to communicate it to someone else. And it just gets jumbled sometimes and you're the one responsible for that.
It leads to a lot of drama in my job.
Oh, I believe that. It leads to drama in every job. I mean, yeah, it's common. But the second lesson is that we always double check whether sound recordings are playing at their original speed. And three, scientists are probably laughing at us right now for one weird misconception to another or another. So
bitches. Yeah.
But you know what? I say to those who have that imagination, who have that fascination just like me, dream, you know, dare to dream about it. It's fun to think about what's still out there because, like I said, we don't know everything that's in it. It's a frontier. Mm-hmm. We don't know everything that's in the ocean. And I will say my last fun fact is that the Pacific Ocean max depth is 36. It's a little over 36,000 feet. It's another topic that I'll talk about, which is called the Marianas Trench. That's the subduction zone. But that's a whole nother story that's going to be really fun to discuss. So.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'm going to learn about one of my biggest fears. Thank you.
You're welcome. But that's my story.
I loved it.
Hang on. Good job.
Good job.
That was
my first
excellent.
Story. Yeah.
It was spooky.
Gosh, I'm going to be thinking about this bottom photo.
Yeah.
That's going to haunt my dreams
I
tonight.
I think the top one is scarier.
Oh,
like imagine it coming at you while you're scuba diving.
Like Kirby.
Yeah.
God. No, thank you. No, thank you.
Well, thank you to H.P. Lovecraft for giving us this first idea. I think this story would not have become so prominent if H.P. Lovecraft hadn't written about Cthulhu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
That makes sense.
So, yeah.
Cool. Well done.
Loved it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Awesome. I do like H.P. Lovecraft. I have a Cthulhu stuffed animal somewhere up there.
Ooh.
I think. Yeah, I think it's over in this section somewhere.
Is he green?
He's really big, so I think he's like in the back. I think we'd have to stand up.
I see a minion. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I've got a lot of stuffed animals.
Yeah.
I love maximalism.
Maximalism and cluttercore.
Yeah.
It's my life. It's my life.
I was just listening to that earlier.
Were you
like
really?
Literally today, actually, on my way here. Yeah. How is that possible?
That's so weird.
Bon Jovi, right?
Is it Bon Jovi?
I think it's Bon Jovi.
I have no idea.
Yeah. It was on the radio. I was like, oh, okay, I like this.
Wow. All right. Well, good job. Thank you.
Yeah. That was so much fun. I'm excited to do my next story. Thank you so much for letting me do that one.
Yeah. I was listening to whenever this, as we're recording this, the episode that came out last Friday was an episode with you.
Mm-hmm.
You have such a nice voice.
You have a good radio voice.
It's so nice. It's like nice and smooth and just like, I don't know, comforting. Like you're giving me a hug.
A hug voice.
That's so kind. It's so nice. When I did the, I was actually the one to give the speech and the, I handled it for my cousin's wedding over the summer. And I had a lot of people in the audience tell me the same exact thing. And that just makes me feel so good. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
It's cool because it's one of those things that you don't really have a lot of control over.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, and you just got a nice voice.
You got a good voice.
Thank you.
Cool. Well, I guess that's it. Follow us on social media. We're on Holy Gossip Girls on Instagram and Facebook, at Girls Unholy on Twitter. Email us what you're petrified of at unholygossipgirls@gmail.com. Check out our merch. Leave us a review. Am I forgetting anything?
Hi. We love you.
Yeah. True.
All right. We will see you guys, I think, next Friday.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bloop.